Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Felger. I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Pass deflected by Butler, tries to save it, and it finds its way to Robinson. Down to Butler, and Butler throws it down. It's back to a one-point game. Great defensive play and hustle from Jimmy Butler.
Elite defender, active hands, comes up with the steal and gets rewarded.
That's Jimmy Butler. That was the steal and then the behind-the-back save and then getting the ball back after he felt like he ended up in the second row. Winning plays. You know, he's leading them, but how's he leading them? I mean, how many big shots has Jimmy Butler hit? Two.
Yeah, two, right.
Really? I mean, the corner three in the fourth quarter of game one and then the drive and one in the overtime of game one. But he didn't have really any big dagger kind of shots last night. They didn't run the offense through him. But he's leading the way there. It's just, and, you know, your guy thinks he's something else. So, is this what we're saying? Marcus Smart just isn't content doing that thing?
I mean, I think they all think there's something else. That's part of the problem.
They all do.
Again, Tatum thinks he's Kobe or Kyrie or whoever.
Well, he's influenced by both of them.
Brown thinks he's, take your pick, Jimmy Butler. Smart thinks he's who? Dennis Johnson?
Starks?
They all think there's something else. They all think there's something else.
And in a lot of ways, maybe the worst thing that happened to Smart down there is as well as he shot in that last series. Because now it's like, oh, no, give me the shot. I mean, I've been convinced of it. I was saying that at the end of regulation of game one, go to Smart, find Smart. He's been hot. He's been your best shooter.
I mean, I think he's been their best all-around player in the postseason. I think Smart has been. But that doesn't mean I want him scoring 30 every night.
I don't. Why don't you just wait to see who's going, and then that guy gets the shot, and you all just shut up about it.
Exactly.
I feel like that's what they're doing in Miami.
Yeah.
Robinson's hot. He shoots.
Yep.
Dragic is hot. He shoots. Crowder hits. Go ahead, shoot. Jimmy Butler doesn't care. He's not saying it's my ball, my team, my role. Like, you're not doing any of that bull crap.
I mean, it's sort of like the Belichick approach, right? You throw to the open guy.
The Celtics, for all the preaching and, you know, claims that they are that team, are not. They're obviously not that team. They're proving not to be that team. So you have to blame the players for it, right? I know you want to blame Stevens, but I don't think there's any coach that instills that. The players instill that in themselves. Craig and Waltham. Go ahead, Craig.
Hey, guys. Murray, how you doing?
Hi.
You must have saw this play last night. Kemba Walker, when he shot the ball, I think he put the Celtics up 10. And you guys there?
Yes, please. Yeah, just get your point.
Sorry. He put the Celtics up 10. And he just seemed like he was playing by himself. Like, he smiled to himself. He was almost like talking to himself. Like, wow, I got a bucket, you know? And there was still so much time left in the game. And he thought that he had accomplished something. And the other team was just going to go away. Like, the Heat were like, okay, good. They're up by 10. We're good.
But it's like,
I don't know, the mentality of Kemba Walker doesn't bother me at all. I've just been concerned about his knee. I thought he was great last night.
He was good last night. He was good offensively. He made some defensive plays. He stripped Robinson once. He stripped Adebayo in the lane. He was good. But it's like, they made a point to get him good. Why? Why do you have to get someone back after a bet? It's about the team and the team winning. So if the situation called for Kemba Walker to be there offensively or defensively, he stepped up, great. But why make a point of it? Like, why do you have to prop up one guy from game one to game two?
Great question. I mean, in Walker's case, I think my guess is they looked at him and said, we're going to need this guy if we're going to win this series. And so we got to get some points out of him, and we need to open up that option again. And I don't have a problem with doing that just for a little early part of the game. I felt like Miami did a little bit with Robinson last night. Like, just to get him going, get him in the game. Fine. No problem. Absolutely. But at some point, if it becomes a focal point, that's an issue. And, you know, so Now, I don't completely agree with Perkins that, like, you know, the reason the whole thing deteriorated is because it all goes back to what they were trying to get Kemba the ball. I think it all goes back to the end of game one. I'm with you that, you know, they got pissed at Tatum. Tatum, to me, last night looked like a guy who just wanted to, like, be one of the five. And he's got to be more than that.
Well, you want me to give up the ball? I'll give up the ball. You want me to just be one of the guys? I'll just be one of the guys.
Yeah, he's pouting.
He's just like, and that's the way he carried himself.
Pouting.
Like, oh, my God, they're still kvetching about their roles. I mean, really. Lewis in Boston. Go ahead, Lewis.
Hey. I don't think so. I mean, I think that they went through it. They lost two games in a row. They've been in the bubble for this long. It's kind of like being with a coworker, stuck with them for 2 months, and they, you know, you get fed up sometimes. But I think this is going to help us, really. I think that this is going to be like, okay, we got out what we got out. We got everything out on the table. Let's let it out, and then now let's get back to balling.
Okay.
Why didn't Denver implode then? They're down 3-1 in consecutive series. They were able to not bitch at each other and have these kind of meltdowns and come back and win both those series. I never heard anything like this coming out of the Denver Nuggets camp.
I mean, there was one little thing that was close when Porter said, you know, Porter didn't touch the ball at the end of the game and kind of complained about it a little. I mean, it was perceived as a complaint, but nothing like this. Nothing like guys flipping over chairs and
chucking chairs against each other.
Yeah, no, nothing like this.
Having to be separated and the coach in the middle of it. Like, guy, calm down. Gee, Willikers, guys, calm down.
We can't have it.
Throw the furniture.
Nothing like this. But it's possible. Like, so look, it is possible that this was the moment they had to have. They cleared the decks. They got it all on the table. They cleared the air, and now they can go forward as a team. Like, that's a possible storyline. What percent do you put that at?
1.
0.
No, I'm serious. 1%. Like, you know, you want to go back to, well, let's go back. I'm going decades now. But, again, you know, the game where the Celtics, Bird called them out against the Lakers and called them sissies. The next game, Kevin McHale clotheslined Kurt Rambis, and now the series was on. But the things changed after that. You know what the difference was? Celtics were a veteran team. You know, they had won. It was a totally different thing.
They knew what it took.
Yeah, and also back then you could clothesline someone.
Yeah, right.
So now, but this team, I don't think this team has that in them yet. And again, yet being assuming
yes,
that
right.
It is coming,
you better hope they don't have it yet. Meaning they'll have it eventually. You better hope that's the case, and it's just immaturity. Because if it's not immaturity, and this is who they are, then it ain't ever going to work. And that's the scary possibility from the whole thing. But, you know, there's a chance they cleared the air and they can go forward. They can. I just feel, boy, I feel like it's too late. I feel it's too late for this group. I feel they're too young and they don't get it. And I don't know how you get it over a 36-hour stretch because you chuck some chairs at each other. Like, I don't think it's that simple. But, you know, we'll find out Saturday. And then, you know, what a beauty is. You got one of those classic 5 days wait until game four. That could be fun if they're down 3-0. Like a 3-4-day bloodbath. Like, never, like on the airwaves among the fans, them at each other. Can you imagine them, like, they're not looking at each other for 5 days in Orlando waiting to play game four just to get the hell out of there. And can you imagine what that game four is going to look like?
Oh, my gosh. You thought it was ugly last year in Milwaukee. This will be a carbon copy.
Game four, again, is Wednesday. So you got to wait from Saturday to Wednesday. If they go down 3-0, oy. Oh, keep them separated.
If I were Hayward, if I'm Hayward and I haven't played yet,
no, gotta go.
Yeah. I'm leaving.
Gotta go. Penelope wants me.
Yeah, I gotta go. It's right. See you later,
Phil in South Carolina. Go.
Yeah. Well, the good news for Jason Tatum is pretty soon he's gonna get his wish. He's gonna get his shot, or he's gonna get to practice golf every hour of the day. But the most infuriating thing, other than the energy on this team, is their lack of ability to adjust to his own. These great basketball minds seem like they've never seen anything like it before. And Brad's gotta wake up.
So, you know, these are things I'll put on the coach. It's like, these are kind of simple things. The pick and roll with Adebayo in the third quarter, like, over and over and over again. I mean, seriously, how many baskets at the rim did he score in the third quarter?
Oh, it had to be 4 or 5 at least.
I mean, over and over. And it didn't stop it. And then the zone. It was just a simple 2-3 zone. I mean, put some of their big guys up top and the smaller guys. So that was a little bit of a wrinkle, but it's just a zone.
Yeah.
It's playing college.
Yeah. So some of it, again.
Playing high school.
But because of that, don't you look at the players and go, what happened there? Like, you guys don't know that? You didn't discuss it? Like, there's no way Stevens overlooked that. Now, again, he could have done some things differently, like, and said to, to Tice, just lay back.
Yeah.
Give the guard the jumper.
Right.
Let's not get stupid about it. Like, whatever. You know, let's not just keep giving up dunks. So I'm not exempting Stevens. I just, I believe it's a player league. I don't give coaches credit for championships generally, and I try not to blame them too much when this happens.
Ron in Medford, go ahead, please.
You know, what kills me is I couldn't watch the game. So here I am, you know, periodically checking in on it to see what the score is. And I'm looking with 8:49 to go in the fourth quarter. Jimmy Butler's got 8 points. Mm-hmm. All he's got is 8 points, and they're only up five. And before you know it, you know, but you know, Mike, you say all the time that this team is the more talented team. The Celtics are more talented on paper, and they are, but Miami is the better team. I mean, there's just something to be said for
definitely
being a team and, you know, have, I mean, Butler had 8 points in the fourth quarter with 8:49 to go. So he doesn't care. He's not worried about pouring in 30. He just wants to win and get to a final.
Yeah, so look, if I were a neutral site person, I'd look at this and go, this is great. This is actually, you know, this is a good result. A team is winning on toughness and coaching and togetherness, and, you know, they're winning on things other than just pure talent, which I think was what happens in the NBA more often than not. So, like, I think it's actually a good result from that perspective, but here in Boston, you look at it and say, well, we're the more talented team. This is garbage, and I understand what you're saying. But it's in some respects refreshing that a team is winning based on those other things, Mass.
Okay. I mean, they're fun to watch. I don't know any other way to say it. Miami's fun to watch.
You just don't see that in that league.
No, they played it. Now, look, honestly, if they win it, I'll be shocked. As well as they're playing, because they don't have the horses. I mean, not like, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis. Sorry. Now, if they play Denver, I suppose I could go, you know, let me think about that one. I still think Denver probably has more talent than Miami does. But if they play the Lakers and they beat the Lakers, I'll be shocked. I love the way Miami's playing, but LeBron and Anthony Davis, I'll take those two guys.
Yeah, I still think it'd be a tough series, though, because, I mean, this team, this Heat team's, maybe they're one of their best abilities, is to get these teams talking to themselves. They just did it to Milwaukee. They're doing it to the Celtics. They'll probably do it to LeBron and Anthony Davis, because they don't strike me as the most mentally tough team either.
Davis might be vulnerable to it. I'm not sure LeBron is.
Let me just take this chance to do something, too. Because I pumped his tires a little bit early in these playoffs, and I gave him a chance, and I thought, you know, I don't want to hear any more about Robert Williams and the Time Lord. It's it. It's over. Please stop with this. Like I mean, we talk about the third quarter and protecting the rim and getting out. I mean, Robert Williams would have been a guy to maybe try there.
Did he get off the bench?
Nope. DNP. DNPCD. DNP coach's decision. Benched. 0 minutes. Cantor got the minutes in the first half instead of him. Done. Zero. Like, and this is exactly what they need. They're getting killed at inside. And so they have their Bam Adebayo. Shouldn't he be Bam Adebayo?
Yes.
That's the guy.
Yeah. That's a perfect comp.
Long, athletic defensively, some offensive touch and awareness. Like, that's the guy.
Yep.
That's who they should be. And that's who Robert Williams should be. Doesn't get off the bench. I'm done with him. Enough. Yeah. I don't want to hear any more calls about him. I don't want to hear me. You call someone else and pull out your wiener for, you know, Robert Williams. get pleasure your green self for Robert Williams of the Time Lord. He's obviously freaking useless. Useless with a capital U.
I mean, really, he's the perfect guy in theory to do it. Adebayo's a problem for them. They don't match up.
When was he drafted? This is what I've been trying to look up.
Yeah, Robert Williams was somewhere in the 20s, I think.
27th, I believe.
Yeah.
So what year?
2 years ago.
So Adebayo went 14th in 2017. Williams, yes, went 27th the next year. So I can't really blame Danny there. Did you have a chance at Adebayo? What'd you do in, well, that's the year he took Tatum. It's really hard to bitch, except I just, again, want to piece this together. Is that the year you had, like, the four effing picks? And you pick this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy? No.
I mean, considering where he was drafted, people would argue that's a value pick because he was supposed to be higher, but his mentality
Williams.
And attitude, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a problem them picking Williams where they did. I mean, again, it was 27.
No,
so.
I want to blame him for not getting Adebayo, but I can't. I'm trying to piece it together.
The take
can't.
Math isn't working.
I can't. Believe me, I'm trying, but I'll figure out a way.
We got to rewire the take calculator.
But anyway, Williams should be that guy. He should be trending towards that guy. Instead, that kind of game, DNPCD. Enough. You want to talk Robert Williams and the Time Lord as a real, actual piece? Call Mason Souza, and you two, you can hash it out amongst yourselves. Other than that, I'm out of that. We'll do a quick little Celtics breather here with some hot takes with Sosi coming up next. Patriots, Seahawks. Interesting ball game coming up here Sunday night. We'll
Sosi's here.
Start to touch on it. He's somewhere, I think.
Ooh, turn up the AC.
Okay, he zoomed in, the little fella. We'll talk to him right after this.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Did they say it?
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
You said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's time for Hot Sports Takes with Bob Sosie. Yes,
all right, Mass was out of the room, so we don't get the usual histrionics there. Sosie joining us for his regular stint. Bobby, just a straight intro because I can't do it. My tongue doesn't move that way the way Mass's does, so just got to say hi, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Sorry about that. Hold on. Sorry about that, Bob. Yeah, Mass was out there texting or something. Here, speak again, Bobby.
How are you guys?
We're okay. Your connection's
doing well.
Yeah, your connection's mediocre. Anyway, it's a time out of chill with Bob Sosie, play-by-play announcer for the Patriots Radio Network, brought to you by Coors Light. Crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Coors Light, made for football, made to chill. What do you think this week, Bobby? How do you feel about it?
I think it's going to be a lot like the last four times these teams have met. All those games have come down to one score, if not the final play. You have the two quarterbacks, new for the most part, carried the Patriots offense last week, and Russell Wilson was phenomenal, completing about 89% of his passes against Atlanta. The slogan out there is "Let Russ Cook," and you know they're trying to take a more aggressive approach. At least they did last week. We'll see if they do it again this week. Should be a lot of excitement, despite you know the absence of fans out there in Seattle. I think it's a good time for the Patriots to play this game in Seattle for some obvious reasons. And it should be, you know, typical Patriots Seahawks with Carroll and Belichick on the sidelines.
So
football
really,
theater.
So you think this is a one possession, last possession kind of game that you usually have between these two teams, even with all the Patriots transitions, you know, shall we say, for, you know, being polite.
Pretty optimistic, Bob.
Well, I'll tell you a couple of reasons why. I think the Seahawks are going through a similar transition on the other side of the ball, although the linebackers, of course, are very familiar and they're outstanding. Bobby Wagner is the leader of that defense. And, you know, you look at Seattle, though, last year it was a defense that was subpar compared to what we've been accustomed to watching from the Seahawks. And they gave up more than 500 yards of total offense last week. They were very aggressive against Atlanta. A lot of blitzing. Jamal Adams, the newcomer from the Jets, very aggressive. And I think that, you know, you look at the number of pieces that Pete has put in place on that defense, a young defensive line is kind of reshaping things up front. A lot of aggressiveness from Adams against the Patriots offense. I'd like to see the Pats try to exploit that if it presents itself in this particular game. So I think that, indeed, it's going to be a game that's close. I think the Pats are going to have a difficult time against the Seahawks offense for obvious reasons. Wilson, DK Metcalf to go along with Tyler Lockett. But overall, I think that you know the Patriots defense probably is in better position to try to slow down Wilson and the Seahawks than maybe the Seahawks are if the Patriots offense is clicking. Okay. Now the Patriots have to play well.
Okay, when you say clicking, I mean, what, you don't think Seattle can stop a running quarterback? Is that what you're saying? Or you think the Pats are going to come out and throw and Seattle's going to be in trouble there? And if that's the case, they can't cover the Patriots receivers?
Well, that's, you know, the Patriots don't have the kind of, they don't have a guy like Metcalf. And, you know, even, you know, with Julian Edelman in particular, coming off what appears to be a left leg issue, knee issue last week. They don't have a Tyler Lockett right now. But I think that when you look at Newton and having to account for him as a potential runner, it would be a surprise, as Josh McDaniels and Belichick talked about it this past week, but especially McDaniels, it'd be a surprise to see Newton continue to run at that clip. It's unsustainable. But the one thing it does now is it forces you as a defense to, again, account for that, and they can begin to layer things on top of that. And if they bring up extra defenders in the box, if, for example, Adams is a bit overzealous, which he's capable, which he's had the tendency to be, he's in some ways, Zoe and I were doing a TV show the other day, and Zoe compared him in a way to Troy Polamalu, who played that role for Pete in his defense with USC, and Earl Thomas in a bit, in a way with Seattle as well. Then the Patriots can take advantage because of play action and the ability to pop it over the safety's heads. Again, they're going to have to play extremely well going out to Seattle, but they're playing there with no fans. So you're not contending with a crowd that usually, you know, hits the meter well over 100 decibels per home game for the Seahawks. Well, now it's crowd control because it's recorded sound, and the NFL is going to keep it at 70 decibels. I think it's a good time, particularly, again, when you've got a defense for Seattle that's still, you know, this defense has got a long way to go. They're coming together just like the Patriots offense is.
So, Bob, it feels like you were impressed by the Patriots last week. Am I wrong to say that?
I think overall, yes. I think that, you know, there are concerns. I think if Seattle, I would be surprised if Seattle doesn't try to run the ball a little bit more this week than they did against Atlanta, because, you know, I still think the Patriots did a great job against Miami. But let's see against an offense with a back like Carson and the Seahawks. And, you know, I look at the Patriots, though, from an offensive standpoint. I just think that, you know, they do have some deficiencies, as we all know. But with Newton, the threat that he brings as a dual threat quarterback, it's very similar to, you know, what you see with some of these other guys around the league, where you as a defense, you're always on your heels in some respects. And I think that gives a team that might be a bit inferior offensively, it doesn't completely make up that difference, but I think it helps to. But again, the Patriots have to play extremely. I think the Patriots offensive line is a big part. I was very impressed with the offensive line, Tony. We knew the interior was a strength, but I thought the two tackles played terrific last week. And I thought Jermaine Illuminor was very good for the Patriots. I thought the tight ends blocked well against the Miami Dolphins. Granted, you know, the linebackers for the Seahawks are a lot better than the way Landon Roberts and the Dolphins backers played last week. I thought that, you know, it was surprised that Brian Flores wasn't a little bit better prepared for some of the plays that the Patriots brought out, very reminiscent of 2016 when Jacoby Brissett was a quarterback in week 3 against Houston. But I was impressed overall. They played a relatively clean game on defense outside of the pass interference calls. Not a lot of missed tackles. They were assignment sound. They mixed things up with their personnel. I think for week 1 with no preseason, and you can't help but take mostly positives away from the game.
Okay, Bobby. So no long flight. It's just you and Zoe in an empty stadium. So that's how it's going to go. Do you have good distance between you and Zoe?
Is there ever enough? Yes. Well, thankfully, I don't think we have any plexiglass this week in the booth, but we have Mark Capello. So I'm going to ask Mark to turn his back to me and intercept everything that's coming my way from my partner. But yeah, we'll be in the booth. It's going to be the three of us along with producer Jim Louth, as well as Dennis Knudsen, our engineer. And we're going to have Gillette Stadium basically all to ourselves.
That's unbelievable. Why are you doing that? Like, as opposed to what, just is because it's going to sound more like a football feel if you're in an empty stadium versus like here, I guess?
Well, I think, you know, there's a couple of reasons. One, number one, even though there's no game taking place in front of us, I think the thought was, as we talked about it, let's recreate as much of an environment that we're accustomed to calling a game as we possibly can. And, you know, for us, when you talk about distance, given the width of our booth between one another, an open air environment where at least we can open the windows up as opposed to being in a studio where there's nowhere for the droplets to go. It's, you know, to me, it was the most ideal situation.
Hey, so, I get it. With an open window. Yes.
Smart move.
I get it.
Smart move.
Once in a while. But hey, it's like baseball teams have been doing it all season. You know, the Mets go to Citi Field when they're playing against the Yankees in the Bronx, and the Yankees announcers stay in the Bronx when they're playing against the Mets in Flushing. So, you know, we're going to do it from Gillette. I think a lot of teams are going to do it that way. It also, it allows us to get the feeds from the NFL. We've got the dirty TV feed, so to speak, plus the old 22 from the NFL. You know, it's transmitted through the Patriots, and that makes it a little bit easier, hopefully, fingers crossed, for us on Saturday night.
I bet that's not the only dirty feed you'll have in there.
Bobby, thanks for joining us.
I said dirty feed, not dirty feed.
Yeah, no, I know, Jay. I said feed too, Bob, with a D. Yeah, so think about it.
We look forward to
the I got you.
We look forward to the call Sunday night here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bobby, thank you so much.
I mean, guys, thank you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, let's be honest. Sosie wants an open window, and Zoe just wants, it's like 5 minutes from his house, right?
Oh, yeah, no. Sosie will be watching the CBS or the Fox Dirty Feed, whichever CBS. Zoe will be watching Debbie Does Dallas.
Yeah, Spanish soap operas, you know, like as usual. Like, please, give me a break. All right, here comes Murray's update. Right back to your phones.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Mass.
Whee!
It's way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Brad, do you think that there may be some, the guys might be getting lulled into trying to hunt some of these mismatches, and that might be part of the reason why things go stagnant?
I'll look at it and get back to you.
Snippy Brad, that was from game one. You think he's gotten back to Himmelsbach yet after checking the film?
Nope.
So the heat's turning up on Brad Stevens. That's just a way into that. The bad news is, and I think this is true, the team's tuned him out. I think that's apparent. The good news is every NBA team tunes out every NBA coach. That's just the condition of the league. In the rarest of cases, maybe Popovich still has the ear of the players, although not everybody. Kawhi couldn't wait to get out of there.
Exactly right.
Kawhi quit on him. You know, one of the best players in the NBA, who, again, I know just choked and gagged. I got it. But Kawhi Leonard's one of the best players in the NBA. One of the, I think, still a winner. Tuned out Popovich. So every coach gets tuned out. But I think it's happened to Brad. I think it's pretty apparent.
Yeah, look, again, they're not responding on the floor. They're just not responding. The principles that he's trying to put in place, they're not executing. And so, I put that on the players. Like, to me, there's a right way to play and a wrong way to play, and they've chosen the wrong way.
But yeah, I believe in personal responsibility, too. But, I mean, there are not everybody in the league would allow this kind of drama to happen. I mean, I know that he now has rings, and a lot of that is because of LeBron. But Eric Spoelstra has certainly proven himself to be a leader of men.
So, I think it's Riley. I think if they listen to anyone, it's Riley.
All right, so let's start bitching about Ainge, then.
It's fine. Like, fair. I mean, but I think Riley's like a rare exception. You know, what other GM is any player going to listen to? I mean, really.
Ainge, not many.
Ainge, maybe, but even though he was a player, he was hated as a player. Mm. He wasn't that respected. He was just sort of the weasel rat in the corner as a player, a sidecar, you know? And not that Riley was a player, but he has all those rings as a coach and, you know, all that. I mean, I don't know. I just think there's very few players. I mean, there's very few coaches or executives that these players would listen to. And so Brad ain't one of them. I think that's obvious. Back to your phones here, as promised. Pay attention to this landline. This is what it all should sound like. Dakota in Braintree. Hi.
So before I get to the Celtics Heat series directly, there was a few things after the game last night. One with the Smart comments. If you listen to what he said about that's all the BS that you're on, I'm thinking that these kids, and listen, I have a daughter, they're all into this THC. Marijuana is becoming legal. We've heard about NBA players, you know.
So hold on.
I don't think that's it.
But then what is it? Because I thought that too, Dakota, right. Or something. The quote was,
y'all on some XBS,
right.
Yeah,
right.
BS.
And Smart doesn't want to say it specifically, but it sounds like, listen, it's legal. I think THC is, you can get it in Massachusetts. You can get it everywhere. I think that's what he's referring to.
No.
Because that would, I don't know. Look, that's just pure speculation, but it was about something, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The other thing, did you see Brad in the press conference after? He was breathing so heavy. It was like he was in the middle of that scrum in the locker room.
He was?
He was breathing so heavy in that postgame. And speaking of Jaylen Brown, okay, don't forget, this all started in game three when OG hit the shot in the three. Smart was yelling at Brown to go get him in the corner. So this didn't just start on game one. There's been something going on before. As it relates to the Celtics-Miami, Mike, I told you, this Heat team was for real. They annihilated the Milwaukee Bucks. They're annihilating the Celtics.
Dakota, just to jump, I noticed that too, by the way. I did notice what the Heat did to the Bucks. Just FYI. I didn't need you to tell me. Why does every Dakota comment start with, as I told you?
No, but you said to me, though, that if they lost to the Heat, it would be an upset, and you'd be... And I'm saying, no, the Heat are a better team going in, okay? And just for all the Celtics fans that still think they have a chance on winning, I'm giving a free $10,000 away to any follower of mine if the Celtics end up beating the Heat. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can go ahead at Dakota Damas. $10,000 to any fan of mine follower.
Wait a minute. So what if 100 people take you up?
One person. I'm going to select at random. I'll do it live so they know it's for real.
At Dakota Damas.
At Dakota Damas, and it would be $10,000 to one follower if the Celtics come back and beat the Heat.
So if I follow you, can I win it?
Yeah.
yes, you can.
So basically,
any follower.
Okay, basically what you're saying is, would you follow Dakota in Braintree for $10,000?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
for $10K for nothing,
okay,
sure.
Do me a favor. Would you log? I do have a Twitter account. I don't even know how to get on it.
I'll log you in.
Would you log me in and follow him for me?
Dakota, we're in.
Yeah, we're in. I mean,
we're in.
Look, I don't like the Celtics either. I don't think they're coming back.
Yeah, y'all on some BS.
Okay, you're all on some BS. What did he mean by that?
You're high.
Yeah, right.
No, but if
that's
I say...
That's what Dakota's saying.
Not literally.
But if I
were to say to you, you are high.
I know what you mean.
That's what he means. You guys are out of your minds if you believe what you believe. You're on something, right? Like, it's a figurative expression to you don't know what the hell you're talking about if you believe that.
So, good, Maz. I think you're right.
I've asked about it, actually. I've sniffed around to find out what the meaning of that is, and that's what I've been told.
And there we go.
I take it as you're all acting like a bunch of bees.
Yeah, that's sort of the same thing.
Yeah.
You're high. You believe that? You must be high.
Yeah, and I don't mean I've checked it out with anybody in the Celtics. I mean I checked it out with my street people.
Yeah. You called Wiggy for the word on the street, or a translation of what that means. But either way, like, this is their problem. Marcus Smart's maybe right, but should he be saying it?
No.
As the scrappy fourth, fifth piece, the role player? And, okay, maybe he should be saying it, but clearly I think Tatum and Brown, guys like that, look at it and go, dude, just keep rolling around on the floor, drawing fouls and getting loose balls, because that's what you're supposed to be doing. And it's like, this is still where they're at.
Yes. None of them look at the other guys appear.
They don't know who's who or what's what.
Yeah, they're stuck in the middle. They don't know. Again, I said this yesterday. Every great NBA team I've ever seen, it's somebody's team.
There's a hierarchy.
Yeah. Whose team is this? And you said Smart.
I asked this yesterday, and I do think Smart's the heart and soul of the team, but what if the team doesn't think he's the heart and soul of the team?
So exactly. If you're Tatum and Brown, you look at Smart and say, you're not on our level in terms of talent. You know how that is in that league. Kyrie was the same way, and now Tatum's being influenced by Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it's, you know, yes, Marcus, you're the heart and soul of the team. That doesn't mean I want you shooting at the end of the game. Like, I think this is where they are.
You think Dakota's good for the 10 grand?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you think Dakota's got money?
Yeah, I think he's got some.
Really?
Yeah.
What's he doing calling sports radio?
He's a loser.
What was he doing buying sports radio airtime all those years ago?
I guess you're right. All right, so what can I tell you?
He's got disposable income.
So loser's not defined by the bank account.
I'm in. I'm in on the free 10K.
No, I got to figure out how to follow the guy.
At Dakota Domus.
Yeah, we'll do it. Long commercial-free segments next.
Dugger Mass.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbags.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Smart to inbound. Ball pumped away by Butler. Butler with the steal. Butler back to Crowder, banks it home. Jimmy Butler with another defensive play.
And that's the 19th turnover for Boston. Again, great zone defense.
Zone defense.
Yeah, taken down by a zone defense. That's ridiculous. And the pick and roll on offense. The dunk contest. The Bam Adebayo dunk contest in the third quarter. It's absurd. David in New Bedford, your thoughts?
I think it's very disappointing that the Celtics, at this shows they can't close a game. And my concern for them is, why do they always have to go for the three-point play? Couldn't they try to score closer to the basket?
Yes, you would think, David. Also, one of the ways to beat down defeat the zone is to penetrate it. So you have to play with some force, as they like to say, and drive, kick, you know, penetrate. And they're not playing hard enough.
Nope, they just stood out there on the perimeter, made a nice little umbrella, and chucked up threes. Really, again, it's like you look at them and say, what are you doing? Now, look, I think they're, you know, they lack a high post player, right? I mean, you know, Tice isn't really that. He's more of a guy you put on the baseline near the bucket, throw an alley-oop to, whatever. I know they like him to shoot the threes, but whatever. He's not like he shoots a lot of them. So they are missing that piece, and I think Miami exploited it.
Ernie in West Roxbury on that zone. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey, listen. Marcus Smart is not the problem. He's the least of your problem. It is the coaching. We keep saying that we have the better team. So if you got the better team, you got to have the coach that can get the players in position. He can't stop the zone, excuse me, for some reason. And then he doesn't even call a play. He just sits there looking crazy.
Well, who knows?
It drives me nuts, man.
Ernie, we don't know that. Maybe he calls a play and they ignore it. I mean, don't tell me at the end of regulation in game one, the play was for Jason Tatum to pound the ball 27 feet from the basket and then chuck up a three. That was the play? No, he probably had a play. And Tatum ignored him. Probably. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine that's what Stevens would have wanted out of that timeout after Smart got the flop there, got that free throw. So, I mean, it's the players. I mean, I'm with Maz on this. But they've definitely tuned him out in the same breath. They've definitely tuned him out. I mean, I think.
I just, look, there's a lot of coaches in the NBA. I shouldn't say a lot, but there have been coaches in the NBA over the years where I've looked at and I say, that guy's hands off, man. He does nothing. Is Stevens that guy?
No.
Like, the idea that Stevens would sit there and not run a play, not tell him, not call out a pick or, you know, a rotation, or not have an offense. Does that sound like him?
Obviously not. But the tune out thing, now that this just occurs to me, the third quarter struggles. Think about it in this regard.
the third quarter is just after you've had a big halftime prep from the coach. We're going to do this. We're going to do that.
Solid defense, boys.
We're going to make this adjustment. We're going to make that adjustment. I mean, the biggest talking to you have from your coach during an NBA game is halftime. Then you have the little timeouts where half of it, you know, the coaches are huddling to themselves and then they join the players for like 20, 30 seconds. Halftime is whatever, 6-7 minutes. So that's their biggest dose of Brad Stevens they get on a nightly basis.
And they've sucked in the third quarter all year.
This is like, this just occurs to me. Yeah. Like, is that a sign of tune out?
Probably.
The biggest speech they get, yeah, they probably turn around and play the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, so the only saving grace there is that, I'll just say it again, every NBA player tunes out every NBA coach. Just about. But boy, you thought it might have been a little different here. Joe and Alston, go Joe.
Yeah, I'm thinking they need a change to the starting lineup perhaps. Daniel Tice was a minus 16 yesterday. He got freaking abused. Not just by Bam, too, by everyone on the Heat. Grant Williams is a plus 9. I think that they will work better with the switches, the pick and roll D, and Grant's also a better passer than Tice is.
Okay, just don't give me Robert Williams. No more of that. If you're saying Grant Williams is going to turn the tide of the series, I mean, I feel a little optimistic, caller.
I mean, that's a small lineup.
It's Grant Williams.
I mean, seriously, like, what are we talking about?
Why don't you just play good team defense?
And you know what? I even loved the comment from Stevens last night where he says, you know what? This isn't about offense or defense scheme. You know,
it's how hard they're playing.
Right. He's like, it's how we're playing. We got to be better, plain and simple. And he's right.
They gave up in the third quarter. They never tried. They stopped playing. He said it.
37-17.
He said it. His wow. Between quarters interview, he said, we stopped playing. Right after, at halftime, he had to have said, guys, let's turn it up now. It's time to turn it up. Time to take this to the next level. It's time to do this, do that, do that. Okay, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then they come out and they do nothing. They do none of it. But, you know, he called it, at least he called it out. They did stop playing in that third. Go ahead, Randy in Medford.
Hey, happy Friday, guys. I just wanted to say, you know, Jimmy Butler makes these winning plays. The Miami Heat right now, they kind of remind me of the Detroit Pistons that won a championship. You know, even though Jimmy Butler is you know, the star of the team, he doesn't care his stats. He just wants to win. And that definitely shows that 100%. He just wants to win. He was on the bench, and you can see him, you know, telling players where to go on defense. And, you know, he's really engaged on the bench. Other, you know, not like the Celtics players who just sit there and wait to get back into the game.
Okay, hold on, Randy. Yes, Murray?
It makes me think about Butler now because I've bought into this narrative that Butler's been the problem. Why has he been on so many teams? Butler's been the problem. And every single place he's been, whether Chicago, Minnesota, 76ers, they didn't want him again. Maybe he's been the problem because he goes there, and why he's a problem is because he don't want to deal with any bitch stuff. I mean, and you have nonstop bitch stuff throughout the NBA.
What have those teams?
He's the outlier.
What have those teams been and done after he left?
Nothing.
All got worse.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah,
all got worse. I think. I mean, that's just off the top of my head.
He's not the problem. Everyone else is. It's just that he's finally found the perfect fit with Patrick Riley in the Miami Heat.
Yes.
I mean, and I was saying this to Jimmy Stewart before the show. You know, this is the first time he got to really choose where he went. Now, I know that Jimmy was saying in Minnesota he wanted to go there and play for Thibodeau because he played for Thibodeau in Chicago. So fine. But then maybe you got to look at Carl Anthony Towns and Wiggins and say, these guys are losers. I'm out of here. They shipped his ass to Philly. But he picked Miami.
Mm-hmm.
He picked it. And now it's working. So I don't think Butler was the problem.
No, this is...
I'm with Murray.
I think Murray makes a good point.
I don't think Butler was the problem in those other places.
No, but he was viewed as a problem because...
Right, because I've bought into that. Like, this is one of the reasons I never took him that seriously. But it turns out everyone else is the problem. Butler's the only one that's got the right mentality.
Right, he caused waves because he got one look at all those teams and said, you guys don't get it. And so, but Butler was the a-hole, but it turns out he was the one that knew what was going on. So I buy that. Again, I just think there's just this little undercurrent that I keep hearing from Scal on the post-game shows about the families are back in the bubble. The families are back in the bubble. It could have something to do with that, the bubble. Scal says a couple times, I don't get the bubble life, man. I don't get the bubble thing. The families are back. Could there be something there? Which leads me to believe there's something there with the families. And who knows? That could mean anything. It could mean anything whatsoever. But as simply the lowest level thing it could mean is simply the wives are there now. Or, you know, whatever.
you lose your legs a little bit, you know, when you get around your wife, right?
Or kids screaming all night.
Oh, wives, man. Kids, things like that. Oh, but then there's also, you come off the floor, you've just lost. And, of course, every wife says the same thing probably, which is, how come you're not getting more shots? How come they're not treating you better? How come you're not, you're the star, baby. Don't you understand? You're the one that, you're the guy. How come the coach isn't giving you those shots? How come that guy's shooting? You know, blah, 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 blah.
Like, my husband cannot throw the ball and catch the ball.
Bingo. Like, so that, and at worst, there's wife swapping and all sorts of other stuff like that. But he keeps, Scal does, alluding to the families in the bubble and the bubble life. And so I can't help but wonder if something's there juxtaposed with the fact that Jimmy Butler told his family to stay home. You're not allowed to come into the bubble. And it's like, what a contrast in approaches.
No, he's sleeping with his espresso machine.
And so again, I don't know, I made this allusion before. He brought this, Murray told me the story, that Butler brought this fancy espresso machine into the bubble.
And he's charging everyone $20 for coffees. It's amazing.
And he's making it because he's a big coffee espresso drinker. And so his teammates and other players wanted some of his coffee and espresso. He said, fine, $20.
Yeah. And $6.50.
And he's charging them.
And all these guys are like, no, you're serious. You can't be serious. Make me a coffee. He's like, yeah, $20.
No, so he's amazing. So he's not there to make friends. He's not there to grab ass. The family's not even allowed. And if you want a coffee, that's $18. And I'm not kidding. So he's just all business. And I think, and I read this too, that, you know, every team has so many credentials to bring families or close friends or whatever into the bubble. And they opened up like 17 credentials, and now it's like 40 or, you know, whatever the numbers are. The Heat are way low. They're not even using close to all of them because other players are following Jimmy Butler's lead. No, stay home. This is a business trip. I'll be home in a month, hopefully with the trophy. And meanwhile, the Celtics are, you know, getting chirped at by the wives, or who knows? You know, are they worried about all their credentials? Because I know Stevens was all bent out of shape that the staff couldn't get their families out there, right? Wasn't he big on that?
Yeah, he was. He was one of the people, yeah.
I think so. I mean, this extends from the coaches. What are you really worried about? Getting your honey inside the bubble or winning? Because in Miami, they don't give a crap. They're not even using their credentials, and it's $18 for a cup of coffee. So, like, I feel like that's Riley there somewhere. Like, you know, because Riley tried to do that with LeBron. Maybe it's one of the reasons he lost him. But Riley's like, no. We're not here. This is not a vacation at Disney World. We're here to win, and then you get to go home to your families. And I just think, like, I think that's coming through with how the teams are playing on the floor. So we'll continue. I know Gasper has some thoughts. Gasper has some great insight, I think, into this team and where this series stands. So we'll get to him coming up next on an Agenda-Free Friday, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. First, a 90-second update from Murray. No commercials.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.